Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus. What a blessing to be in your presence, rejoicing and praising the Lord. And the glory of the Lord pouring down upon every one of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The angel ascending and descending. We know it so because the Bible says so. We are called to the innumerable company of angels. That's how we know, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you for our gathering together tonight again unto you, Lord, unto your word. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, Lord, as we read the word of the Lord tonight, Lord, we trust you as always to give us a blessing tonight, Lord.
Amen.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, your word will not pass away. Lord, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So, we are in the end of the age period, as we call it, about 2 Wednesdays ago. And we say, well, you know, at the end of the age, I think to the elect bride of God, the most important event to happen now is the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the first fruit church. And we said, you know, let us begin with that. Then we're going to follow on with the signs of the coming of the Antichrist. So last week we just went through the general, truth about the soon coming of the Lord. So that's how we begin. And even in prophetical order, that's how it should be. The rapture first, and then before the Antichrist manifestation and all these things. So tonight we're going to go into that signs of the coming of the Antichrist. We have touched these things one way or the other in the past. You know, but again, you know, as the age begins to, running rapidly and so on, that, you know, we have to touch some of these things again. So let's have some of the signs. This will take a kind of a series. So it'll be a repetition of the thing we have talked about before, but it won't hurt any. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So tonight, to begin the series of the signs of the coming of the Antichrist. There is all kind of things. Thank God for God's children who are watching and praying at what is going on in the world. So we alert ourselves to some of these things too. So where do we begin for the signs of the coming of the Antichrist? Where do we begin from? You know, where we begin from the rapture. And the second coming of the Lord, we began from the Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tonight again, we begin from the Jews, the sign of the Jews, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So, tonight, the Jews are looking for an earthly deliverer. They've been doing it since they become a nation. And since the Jews have returned to their homeland, they have had constant trouble from neighboring countries. And although they have held the supremacy in warfare, whether it's in the air or the ground, yeah, they have held supremacy all along, you know. I think, as we're going to see now, I think only once have they been defeated, really, you know. And they have to keep a continuous and around-the-clock alert that since they ever come to that place, that's where they have been living. Do you know that they spend more, at least in the world, per capita income and how much they spend on defense, I think they spend so much on defense, you know. So that's how Israel is and so on. So, although their position was strong, God gave them grace, they are nevertheless, they are war weary, actually. They are war weary and they long for peace. And so, talking about the signs of the coming of the Antichrist and Israel being the forefront. And they are long, they are war weary, and things like that. I just took the light in enumerating the war they have fought to really bring what I'm talking about now. And why are they war weary, you know? So I listed the war they have fought since they come to that land. And I will run that through quickly. Some of them they call major wars, others they call minor wars. So, first of all, as soon as they got into the land, what happened? The War of Independence. That's how it began. That is in 1947. To 1949. I will name who are their opponents in that war quickly, you know, to just show you that look, these people, they are battle weary, you know, they are looking for a Messiah, a great deliverer, you know. So, the War of Independence was in 1947 to 1949, and Israel against what? Against Egypt, Iraq, Transjordan, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen. The outcome, they were victorious. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? Now, come 1956. The Sinai War. Now, they were joined with Britain and France. So it was Israel, UK and France. And the opposer was Egypt. Also Israel was victorious. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, 1967, the Six-Day War. Israel, always Israel. Only one or two times did they join by other nations, something like that, you know. And the Six-Day War in 1967, who are the opponents? Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and Iraq. Israel was victorious. Now, 67 passed the Six-Day War to 1970, they call it a war of attrition, you know. It was Israel again, Egypt, Soviet Union, can you imagine? Soviet Union, Jordan, sorry, Egypt, Soviet Union, PLO, and Jordan against Israel. And both sides claim victory in that war. They all claim victory and some of that, you know. Then comes 73, the Yom Kippur War. Israel versus, look at the nation, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Algeria, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Cuba, even Cuba and North Korea. See? They get the tiny Israel. Can you imagine? All these are just, for sure events. We need to cut a shadow before. You know, how all the nations will gather in Israel. Look at that, you know, Yom Kippur War. I mean, even North Korea was there, you know. So, but Israel was victorious. Now, yeah, 1970, they call the Operation Litany, they call it, you know. And it was Israel, the South Lebanese Army, together with Israel, you know, against the PLO, you know, and they were victorious. Then come 1982, 1985, that was a very tough one for them. What they call the First Lebanon War, they call it. So Israel, the South Lebanese Army, and the Lebanese Republic, together with Israel. It was PLO against them, Syria and Jammu, you know. Well, that's why they call it the tactical victory. But in strategically, they failed, you know. Israel failed, but strategically, they were victorious. So I'm leaving this to see. Since they land that land, it has been war after war after war after war. We're not done yet. So now, 1985 to 2000. Look at that. Long war. So it was again Israel, South Lebanese Army again, against Hezbollah, the Lebanese National Resistance Front, and that's one of the ones they lost. So they defeated Israel, and the result was Israel withdrew from Lebanon. So that's the only one I thought that they really lost and so on, you know. So anyway, they were not destroyed anyway, praise God. So again, Jacob 1987. Through 1993, what they call the First Intifada. For Israel against the Hamas, where that was settled by what they call the Oslo Accord, you know, back in history, you know. Just when you are there, these people have been battling way, and they are looking for a deliverer, really, you know. So, Second Intifada occurred in 2000, so 2005. It was Israel against Hamas. And the Palestinian National Authority, the PNA, they call them, Israel was victorious. Came 2006, they call it Second Lebanese War. Israel again against Hezbollah, it was a stalemate in that war, you know. And then 2008 to 2009, they call it Operation Cast Lead, or Lead, they call it, you know, Israel call it Operation Cast Lead. So Hamas again, Israel was victorious. Then come year 2012, Operation Pillar of Defense, they call it. Israel against Hamas again. Israel was victorious. Then come 2014, Operation Protective Edge, they call it. Israel against Hamas again. Both claim victory in that war, you know. Then came from 20, in fact, there were 42, at one time there were 42 wars. 2012 to today, Israel against Iran. Hezbollah and Syria. Okay, that's it, that war. In fact, today, Iraq continues to make all kind of threats. Let's have say this today. Say, you know what? Anybody or any business that will hurt Israel will be destroyed as of today. That's what he said. Praise God. Because that was that will threat Muslims again and so on. Like, look, any nation at all, anybody whatsoever who will start to hurt Israel will be destroyed. So we're not too close to the end, brethren. So I just name all those what we see. The position of Israel, you know, how everything got to that land is war after war after war after war, you know. So where will be the end? What will be the end of these things, you know? So So when America in the past has favored Israel, we know that having guaranteed the security of the country from both Russia and the Arab nations. But we know in history there have been times, critical times, when the US let down on them. I don't want to go into that one right now, but it happened. You know, so in the history and so on. Thank God they have a favor now with the current president, you know. Who knows who will be there next or what happened before the real thing happened? You know, we don't know. So anyway, so Israel has looked in vain for someone to be the protector and friend against these many enemies that he has. So in view of all these things, supposing tomorrow or whatever, a man should emerge on the world scene, who will say to Israel, I will protect you against your enemies, I will make a treaty with you, a covenant in which I promise to see that your rights are protected. Suppose after a time he goes further and say to them, I am your friend, you know, your Messiah, that you waited for so long, you know. Praise God. What will be the result? And that's the game plan of the devil at the end of the age and so on, that it will happen like that and so on. It is altogether likely when it happened like that, but it will happen like that, you know, according to scripture, that godly Jews will discern that this man's claims were false, and they will reject him. See? Some of the Jews will do. On the other hand, it is probable also that many will assess his claim. You know, where? Why more Jews are beginning to receive the Lord today? Yeah, they have received the Lord as their Savior. Many of them are doing it right now. But we know in the end, they will be saved as a nation. We know that. But here and there, right here, right there, some of them are receiving the Lord, believing as the true Messiah. But many of them are still looking for the Messiah, you know, that they envisage to be a mighty warrior. They are looking for a mighty warrior Messiah. Many of them are something that, you know, who will subdue their enemies and give them peace. But some of them are beginning to believe, you know, but majority of them looking for a warrior Messiah, you know. So the time is ripe now, according to them, for a warrior Messiah to appear, you know. They are looking for that. The Lord said to bring to pass the word of the Lord in John 5:43, I am coming my Father's name, you know. And you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him he shall receive, you know. That cannot fail. It has come to pass, right? So, so the fact that there is a deep longing in Israel for a great leader to appear and champion their cause shows that the hour of the Antichrist is not far off. Amen? Mm-hmm. I said all those things to come to that sentence. Praise the Lord. All the longing of their heart and so on, it is showing us that the sign of the hour of the Antichrist is true, but it's not far off at all. He will come and be accepted by the larger part of the populace, not knowing those who don't know the prophecy among them and so on. They have forgotten the prophecy of their own prophet, you know, Isaiah in 28:18. How he has warned them, and where he said this, and your covenant with death shall be dishonored, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. You don't know this prophecy, and so many of them don't know that prophecy and so on, you know. At the appointed time, however, he will break his promises according to prophecy, right? And exhort himself. That is in Daniel 9:27, which we are all familiar with now. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, the Bible says. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Even until the consummation, and that determination shall be poured upon the desolate. These are all prophesied ahead of time, what shall be hereafter, and in this generation that we are living in right now. So think about the end of the age series, coming of the Lord and so on. The rapture takes place, the next major event, the Antichrist manifesting himself. So in this series, we are talking about, you know, the things, the signs of his coming. So Israel now battle weary and so on. They are on the edge, really, you know. Anyway, this personage will magnify his own name. And some will resist him. And when they do, it will bring the great tribulation and persecution the Lord spoke about in Matthew 24, which you can quickly read that one, verses 15 to 22, I believe it is, but I read the 21st verse only. For there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this day, to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, the Lord said, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, the Lord said, those days shall be shortened. So the Antichrist will finally kill the leaders of the opposition. See? Guess who are the leaders of the opposition? The two witnesses. Praise God. That is Revelation 11. He killed them, you know, in Revelation 11, on the streets of Jerusalem. And that's in Revelation 11, 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, John 2, verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, nobody can touch them until they finish their testimony. Praise God. And when, you know, they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which traditionally is called Sodom, Egypt. I mean Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So we know the event of the age. The television come on the scene, not for nothing. Internet come on the scene in the foreknowledge of God. See, towards the end of the series, we're talking about the computer in a major way. Praise God. So and now, so we see the Israel and so on, battle weary, looking for a strong man, a deliverer, a warrior Messiah that will deliver them from all these enemies and things like that, you know, according to prophecy. Now, another thing that you can see as a sign of the coming of the Antichrist is this. Even the psychics predicted the soon appearance of what they call a world dictator. Even psychics are doing that, they did it. And one of the remarkable signs relative to the coming of the Antichrist is that even the sorcerers and the psychics are predicting the imminent appearance of a great world figure. See? Well, why they do not call him the Antichrist, they didn't, you know, and they describe him as a man of great power and authority, a man with a magnetic personality, they describe him, who will appear in the midst of the world chaos. They will look so close to the word of God, but somewhere they will miss it, you know. See, they don't know the scriptures too, you know what I'm saying, you know. But he will preach it in a way that he still deceive the people, can, you know. So, now, his exploits, according to them, the psychics, will gain him favor with the masses. And they will turn to him for leadership, believing he will bring the nations out of anarchy and confusion into an era of peace. See? That's what they think, you know, the psychics and so on. I will pick one of them, which we talked here long ago, back in the early 70s, I believe it is. And, you know, actually, better than that, maybe in the 60s and so on, you have all heard of, you know, the psychic, how call it, the psychic, Jim Dixon, you have heard of him. Back in history, but this thing is there in history, right? And it's all over the world, you know, these things and so on. Many people are being led by these things and so on, as they are. Here is what she wrote in one of her writings, you know. He was based in Washington, D.C. at that time. And here is what he had to say about this personality that he's talking about. And I quote, even this one among Christians was circulating at that time as if it's the gospel truth, you know. And I know it, I remember it right here, you know. And here's a child born somewhere in the Middle East, shortly after 7 a.m. on Friday 5, 1963, will revolutionize the world. Before the close of the century, it will bring together all mankind in one all-embracing faith, Jim Dixon wrote. This will be the foundation of a new Christianity, he said. With every sect, can you see how close? With every sect and creed united to this man who will walk among the people to spread the wisdom of almighty power. See, it sounds so good so far, right? You know? See? You know? See, almighty power. He didn't mention the name of Jesus. Right? Almighty power. Anyway. And he is the answer to the prayers of a troubled world, she wrote. Mankind will begin to feel the great force of this man in the early 80s and bring the subsequent 10 years, the world as we know it, the world as we know it will be reshaped and revamped into one without wars or suffering. There you go, without wars or suffering. You know, psychics, you know. Now, its power will grow greatly until 1999, at which time the peoples of this earth will probably discover the full meaning of this vision. End of quote. See, it was reported that later on that, he said that in another book that he got this wisdom from the serpent. That's what he said in our own writing. I mean, even ordinary person, who doesn't know that serpent is associated with the devil? See what I'm saying? I mean, with all that. These are people that are followed by millions of people. Thank you, Catholic, that, you know. Maybe he gave one or two people that came to pass and so on. So what, you know? So it's there in history. Well, comparing with the scriptures, this kind of vision that he said, we can see that much of what he said will come to pass. There will be a strong man called. That's true, you know. And we know that so far and so on. But this man will not be a man of peace, as he said. That's the error. He won't be a man of peace at all, you know. So rather you are coming for the Antichrist, right? Can you know the error that is in that thing? Like, when that if people don't know the scriptures, and all they know is Genesis prophecy, when this man comes, this is deliverer, they will think, not knowing the scriptures to that. So that's the danger of this kind of thing and so on, that, you know. So not be a man of peace, as he said. He will be none other than the Antichrist, who will bring in the great tribulation. And it was even reported that she later considered that, to be the Antichrist, you know, maybe people are laughing to her and telling her the Bible and things like that, you know. So I don't know whether he may believe what he believed that and so on. Now, of course, her timing was off anyway. Because we're talking about 1999, right? We're now in 2000 and whatever, you know. See? So that lying, mixture with the truth and things like that, you know. So, but many have been led away. It's now over 50 years since that prediction. 1999 has come and gone. We didn't see that man really show up and so on, you know. But part of it is true that a strong man come, but not a man of peace. He will usher in the great tribulation, the Antichrist, and things like that, you know. So we see psychics. So these are things that tell us about the soon coming of the Antichrist. You know, there are so many of these events and so on. That's another viewpoint of the soon coming of the Antichrist. Bible chronology shows that 6,000 years of man are completed upon the face of the earth. Why do we say that? Well, the Bible chronology shows that approximately 4,000 years elapsed from the time of the creation of Adam to the birth of Christ. Many Christians today, they still confuse the creation of the earth and the creation of Adam. It's not the same time, that's not the same time, right? I mean, the creation of the earth was long before Adam, praise the Lord. Long and so on. Between Genesis 1 and 2, when the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that beginning is a dateless past as far as human beings are concerned, praise God. See? So we know that eternity behind us, really, you know. Even the psalmist said this in Psalm 102 concerning that. And he said that, verse 35, of old as thou laid the foundation of the earth. Of old. How old is it? We don't know. No man knows that. Of old as thou laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the work of thy hands. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And David said of old. See that, you know, as thou laid the foundation of the earth. Psalm 102, verse 5, verse 25. You know, and even the heavens are the work of thy hands. So the creation of Adam are different from the creation of the earth. But from Adam to Christ, about 4,000 years, as far as we know, in Bible chronology. You take the Bible and begin to look at the events, how it counts, and it came up with that number. I believe it is true. Well, and some 2,000 years later, if you love since Christ, so altogether, from the time of Adam until where we are today, over 6,000 years now, you know. So, and we know that God's days are equated to 1,000 years, right? And the Bible has to witness to that and so on. So we know in 2 Peter 3:8, we are told that, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The psalmist in Psalm 90 verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight, but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So God's day is 1,000 years. You know, Bible bears as a matter of 2 or 3 witnesses. So we see that one there. In other words, man's week of 6,000 years has run its course, really. You know, we are looking at 2 transition times, really. Transition of the gospel from the Gentile to the Jews, and transition of this age. Praise God. I mean, we are from, it has run its course now to the millennial age. You know, so we are looking at 2 transitions, really. You know, so the glorious millennium of 1,000 years, when Satan is bound, which make up the complete week of 7,000 years, is just at hand. Praise God. That's right. So the 6,000 years and the 1,000 years of the millennium is 1 week of man casting in God's time down for a day, which is 1,000 years. Take the 6,000 years of man and the millennium 1,000 is altogether 1 week of 7,000 years. So now, before the millennium, the reign of Christ, the Antichrist must first appear. See, how to be, you know. Since his reign occupies at least 42 months, according to the scriptures, that is 78 weeks, the indication is that a very short space of time remains. However we look at it, time is short. That is the problem. That is the bottom line. Praise God. However time is short, however we look at it, it's most probable that the Antichrist is already living, you know, and is somewhere in the world. People have been pointing to different people. I don't do kind of finger pointing. Praise God. But we know that given the time that we have right now, it's already in the world. We don't know where he is. Praise God. At his time, he will be made manifest. You know? Therefore, we may see events occurring in a very short time, which will identify him to those who know the scriptures. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we are talking about the events, you know, that... the signs of the coming of the Antichrist. And we can give about 2 or more. We just take our time in this series, and the encompassing I talked about before, really, in the past, but it won't hurt in any way. Something I repeated, you know. How about the sign, the number 666 sign, you know? Let's talk about that too, you know. The number 6 itself, in its various multiples, especially the 666, has been appearing again and again in relation to world events, not just in the Saturdays. I mean, for decades now, that number has been appearing again and again in world events. And as we fully know, later on, we will fully explore, the 6 6-day cycles, which we have done before in the past, that appear in connection with the League of Nations and also with the United Nations. They are all connected. But tonight I won't bring that one in. We talk about other things about the 666. Maybe later in the fusion in the series, we talk about that also. You know, these remarkable cycles of 6 6-day appear in relation to other significant events. So now, number one, let's talk about 2 of them. It is recorded in history. 2 sets of 6 6-6 days following the attack on Pearl Harbor in this US and so on mark the dropping of the atomic bomb upon Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In other words, from the day that the Pearl Harbor was attacked to the time they dropped the atomic bomb in Japan, it's exactly 2 sets of 666 days, according to history and people who are counting and recording them. So, number 2, that what they call the D-Day in June 6, 1944, we call it the D-Day. What was that? The D-Day. That was when the Allied army invaded Europe to liberate Europe from the hands of that madman called Hitler. See? Praise the Lord. That's right. So, you know, it was involved with sixes, actually. That D-Day. It was June 6, 1944. Here is where your sixes coming on that day. So, it was the 6th hour of the 6th day of the 6th month of the 6th year of that war that this day fall in. Look at how the sixes line up there. All the major events of the world have this 666 involved in it, in multiple and something like that. In other words, the great campaign of liberation of Europe was marked by that fatal number 6. It was there. See? They cannot just be coincidence, you know. So, however we look at it, see, these are events. They are beckoning, they are beginning to the time of the appearing of the Antichrist, you know. Now, see, the number 666 is identified with the beast. or the Antichrist, we may be sure that the hour of his revelation to the world is very, very near. Amen. That's what we are talking about. It's very, very near. You know, so and we are told in Revelation 13:18, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and its number is 666. Well, thank God for the God's children all over the world. I see them echoing these things and so on. The video, the YouTube and all that they are circulating and so on. I mean, yes. There are factual things in those things, and there are some things misplaced, but nevertheless, you can't watch too much, amen. Praise the Lord. Harder watch too much than watch too little, amen. Praise God. See? So now, from our message, even back, let me see this one. So the mark of the beast, we talked with, exactly in March 20th last year, we talked, there was a message that was talked about here, I called it the mark of the beast, you know. And most, I look at it yesterday also. It's even on the internet and so on, called the mark of the beast. And we brought out so many viewpoints. Let me bring some of them out here. You know, that's over a year ago. Now, we said that the mark of the beast will be a loyalty test. The false prophet will have many smooth words and glib arguments, such as, is not the world in confusion, he will say. Can people not see that there is a breakdown in law and order? That's the condition of the world, really. And it's getting there right now.
Amen.
See? And a friend must be distinguished from foe, he will say, he will think. There must be a loyalty test, he will say. It's not given the mark, the best way to make loyalty test. These are the things that the world will be facing and some of that, you know. And even to these things that are preceded to these things and some of that. Let's pick up some of them in history, you know. Even in this country and so on, that you know, how this mark will be a loyalty test, you know. So now, number one, that is set up of the supreme welfare state. You know what welfare state is and so on, that you know. So, and of course, you have to comply with the state, or else you don't get that welfare. I think that's one. And we mentioned, even back here last year, right here in this country, what they call the ration books, in the time of war, that the government have issued in the past. And during World War II, every American was issued a series of ration books. The ration books contained removable stamps, good for each certain item. Maybe one for oil, maybe one for corn and so on, for each stamp and so on, you know. So, and sugar, meat, cooking oil, and even canned foods. A person could not buy a rationed item without also giving a grocer the right ration stamp. Right here in this country, it happened, you know. So, and what is even happening now, it's just a great lesson to the child of God, you know. How things can happen overnight, you know. How things can happen overnight. It's like, praise God, you see. This stamp, in World War II, once a person's ration stamps were used up for a month, he or she couldn't buy any more of that type of food. This meant planning meals carefully, you know, you see, and being creative with menus and not wasting food. So it happened right here. Let's see another precedent, you know, of loyalty test, you know. All of us here have social security cards and numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it's surfaced, people are saying that's the mark of the Antichrist. That's right, it happened, that's right, you know. When they introduced it back in 1933 or believe it, I think people think it was the mark of the beast, actually, you know. But it's a precedent to it, right? It's a precedent. I mean, tell me, unless you have your own business, what can you do without social security card and so on, that, you know? So, and in a way that's accepted, right? You know? So the mark will be at the time when it comes here, too. I mean, they're just cornered off, you know? They're not option. Unless you're a child of God, you know the Bible, and God forbid that won't be left behind, right? You know, they are just to see one testimony with your own blood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is why we have to be careful. We are at the end time. So we see that. So now, latest in time. You have been here for a long time. The chief implant. That was even back then, you know, I mentioned this one. The chip implant. And I said, and I'm quoting this right now. RFID, radio frequency identifier. A human microchip implant is typically on identifying integrated circuit device. or RFID, they call it, transponder, encased in the silicon glass and implanted in the body of human beings. So now this chip, as we are today, some of them, less than a grain of rice. Can you imagine that? They are used for many things. They keep medical records. They provide automatic security access to different buildings and things like that. People are so lazy and say no, they just want this. As soon as you approach your office, the gate open for you. Convenience. And the bit will take advantage of this thing. See? And they get a mark of doom, So, etc. Now, all this may be performed in an innocent function in the past. See? Just quoting what he did last year now. But now become grim tools by which the beast will regiment mankind to its cause and force their absolute loyalty and obedience. So that the word is right there now. The thing is that, they haven't got to the place where they can really enforce this thing. And God forbid, I think the church should be gone, By all we know, praise God. Because we are in the book of Revelation, while the church is gone, Revelation 14, we are seeing that they are taking mark of the beast. Revelation 14, 9, downwards in India and so on. And we see those 144,000, which we know, they are actually, representative of the fourth fruit. That's who they are, And while we are heaven and so on, we see that they are still taking the mark of the beast. So that's everything where they belong and so on. So all these things are showing. When you see these things, something like this and so on, these are the signs of the coming of the Antichrist and so on. It's very close, it's very near. So there are no exceptions when this thing happens and so on to this decree of the beast. Verse 16 of Revelation 13 tells us. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So, I think I can do one more before we close for this today. Now, all this is telling you, all this is the hour of the great tribulation, when this thing happens, when they issue that thing, when they make it compulsory, that will be the hour of the great tribulation. The church is gone by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Now, so let's see the sign of the Antichrist forerunner. So this is back in history, and I just pick one of them. So this is happening. People have forgotten about them, but they have come and passed, but God never forgot. So as there was a forerunner of Christ, history shows the world has produced a man that appears to be the forerunner of the Antichrist, actually, in the name of Adolf Hitler. I'm going to list, the word I've forgotten about him, right? But we can review his career and see that he was really a forerunner type of the Antichrist. And here are the various ways Hitler's vile acts foreshadow those of the Antichrist. Number one, Hitler was marked by the number 666. He joined with Russia, precipitating the World War II. Yeah, he was there. Himself and Stalin had the evil ambition to take over all of Europe and then the world. That was the plan. At the end of 666 days, he broke his treaty or covenant and went to war with Russia. It's there in history. Praise God. It's a truth breaker. The Antichrist will be a truth breaker with the Jews too, they will plant peace, we protect you, we do this and so on, but he will break at the end of the middle of the 70th week and so forth, he breaks his covenant and so on. See, and that's the time I'll be looking for and so on. So that's one thing, how this Hitler, and so on, it's a kind of a forerunner, of the Antichrist and so on. Number two, Hitler revived an empire which included the territory of the Holy Roman Empire. He did. And for centuries, German was the heart of the Holy Roman Empire. Hitler revived it. So we know that in history. Number three, from the time Hitler and Japan declared war on the US until the time of Hitler's death and the fall of Germany was exactly 1260 days, according to the counting in history. So I say that again. From the time that Hitler and Japan declare war on the US until the time of his death, meaning Hitler's death, and the fall of Germany was exactly 1260 days, 3.5 years. The same time that the Antichrist will reign, 3.5 years, you know. See that we just read India, you know. Now, the Antichrist will war against humanity for 1260 days. See that what I'm trying to say right there, you know. Like Hitler, he will at the first win great victories, but in the end, he will be destroyed as Hitler was. See, the same kind of thing. Number four, Hitler sought to destroy or wipe out the Jews. Exactly. Where? He succeeded in destroying 6 million of them. He wanted to wipe them out completely. But he succeeded in, you know, in destroying 6 million of them. The Antichrist will try to destroy the Jews after he breaks the covenant with them. See? We can get the Bible back in Daniel 8, verse 24. It says this. And he shall destroy wonderfully. That's the Antichrist. And he shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. The Bible says so. In Daniel 8, 24. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. See? Exactly what this Hitler did and so on. Was kind of a forerunner. In fact, that people think was the Antichrist really. That time, I think it was the Antichrist really, you know. So anyway, so number five. Hitler also sought to destroy Christianity. He tried. And he cast hundreds of preachers into prison in his time. See? So he never got far and then he left the scene. See? The time wasn't yet, you know? And he left the scene and so on. Number six. Hitler used the broken or crooked cross, what they call the swastika, as a symbol of Nazism. The Antichrist will claim to be the Christ, but he will distort and pervert all that the cross stands for. Antichrist will do that. Number seven, about Hitler. So many things about Hitler. He has a boyhood friend, and that man, that boyhood friend said that Hitler's power to hypnotize the crowd began on a night on a mountain. This guy knew him very well. They were close friends and so on, you know. So all overnight, you know, his power to hypnotize the crowd began on a night on a mountain when a mighty anointing, a coat of some kind, evidently, and we know from Satan, came upon him, you know. So Satan will possess the Antichrist too completely. Praise God. Just like he did to Hitler. So overnight, this man just, you know. See? And that's a bosom friend talking what happened to him and so. Satan will possess the Antichrist completely. He will be able to perform great exploits, but not by his own power. Bible says so. Back in Daniel 8:24, what I'm talking about now, see, and I read it again, and it says, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall prosper, and so on that, you know. The Bible says so in that Daniel 8 and so on that, you know. Another thing is this. His ignominious death does not stop the rise and fall of many other antichrists. Because the scriptures declare that this is a sign of the last time. Despite what happened to him, he didn't even stop many of the other antichrists from rising, you know. So, and so will the antichrist come to a shameful end, just like Hitler, came to a mysterious end. Praise God. See, Bible says we'll be there. That is in Daniel 11:45. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and in the glorious holy mountains. And hear this. And yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Just like Hitler. Praise the Lord. See how he was tied for now with the Antichrist and so on. I think I'm going to finish up here tonight, and I think I got one more here. Many later Antichrists arrive before the final or the tribulation Antichrist will arrive. And we are told, Brother John told us in 1 John 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as we have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now, are there many Antichrists? Whereby we know that it is the last time. Praise the Lord. Then in 1 John 4, verse 1, the same epistle, 1 John 4, 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. because many false prophets are gone into the world. We have been warned from the epistles and so on. So this scripture shows that it was a common teaching in the early church that the Antichrist will come. Even in the early church, the Antichrist will come, and some of that, you know, and there were others too who will come, you know, in the future and so on. And the Lord, in the discussion of events, of which were called just before and during the Great Tribulation, spoke of false prophets too, and false Christ, and false prophets arising, that will show great signs and wonders. The Bible says in Matthew 24:21-25, in so much that if it were possible, it shall deceive the very elect. So, though the tribulation Antichrist shall arise in his time, yet there was to be a succession of false prophets and Antichrist. Let's just name three of them and then we'll close tonight. Even bring us back to history. The world can quickly forget things, you know. And there was one madman in the LA area, you know. Praise God. Really a messenger of Satan, really, you know. He was involved. I mean, they feature him all the time on the television, you know. His name is called Charles Manson. I don't know. Yeah, you would have heard him. Charles Manson. So he had a gang. They commit a series of many murders in the LA area and so on, that, you know. And he claimed that he said he was the leading spirit in the convicted murderers in the late 1960s in the LA area. He informed his gullible flock that he was both Christ and the devil. He claimed both. Can you imagine that? This is still there. And this is still true. Real life thing, that's what, you know. Many times they show him, I don't know, I think lately they show him that last year, so I don't know whether he died or something, I don't know what happened to him. Anyway, you know, it's in the US here, you know. And of course, we have had a religious realm. One that is called Father Divine, you know. He claimed he was an almighty God. Last year, in the US, Father Divine. Say he was almighty God. And that he will never die. Do you know what? He was a Baptist. And came out of Azusa Revival. Can you imagine? Out of Azusa Revival. So, although he was a Baptist, he received God's word at the Azusa Revival. What he did with it, that brought him to that place, we don't know. Praise God. Now, they that endure to the end, him shall be saved. So, one has to be very careful about this journey. Early on, this man, you know, this called Father Ivan, he preached a message of equality among men. And the hope of heaven on earth to the black people who are following him and so on. Thousands accepted him and gave him worship right there in the US and all that, you know. His followers believed that he embodied the second coming of Jesus Christ. Right here in the US, they believe him and so on that, you know. He cast a hypnotic spell on those who listened to him. And people who are not versed in the scriptures, they fell for his enchantment. We get one more name, then we close tonight. Stalin, number three. He allowed himself to be deified like the old Roman emperors. You know, those people, they are self-worship, the Roman Empire and so on. All the emperors, they are self-worship and so on. And so was Stalin. And after he achieved power, he deified himself. In fact, he has a factory. All the factory does is just to manufacture his statue. That's all he does, that factory, you know. And after his death, it was revealed. Stalin murdered millions of his own people, see, and the communists, even themselves, they degraded his name, you know, for what evil he did. So, and three others appearing on the scene have put forth claims that they are the reincarnation of Christ. How many have we count, you know, since all this, Surely, the rise of the Antichrist and false prophets in increasing number with their false teachings, deceiving and being deceived, fulfills the Lord's warning to us. And the Lord said this, and do you alert God's people that the hour of the man of sin is at hand, amen? Amen. And if it's so at hand, then the rapture is much more closer at hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus to show that we are living at the end time. Even the psychic, they have an idea, but they counterfeited it so that even you know, the lying and deceiving spirit, but Lord, the Bible says you are possible to be deceived the very elect, but we thank you for giving us your word that we will not be deceived. Lord, we worship and we adore you tonight, Lord. So we know. So we know daily worship and praying as you commanded us, Lord. Lord, thank you for loving us. Such a great love that, Lord, for us, for the elect, you will shorten the time. Let they will just even, no flesh at the same. For the elect's sake, you say you will shorten the time. Lord, that the shortening of time too, even in 1 Corinthians 6:29, I believe it is, Bible says that even now, time is very shorter. He that buy, let him do as if he didn't purchase anything. He that is married, let him be as if he's not married. Even ask that in the day of Paul, how much have we said this to Lord? Lord, help us, O Lord God. Lord, let us live, O Lord God, and count every other thing insignificant when it compares to the very soon coming of the Lord. Gratitude to every one of us tonight, Lord. That we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
So the simple that we